Yesterday, we had an additional death in Washakie County, and sadly, I have to report to you today that we've had another in Washakie County. Both of these deaths are connected with the outbreak of at a long-term care facility in Worland. This is an increase of 57 new confirmed cases over the last week. The number of current hospitalizations, as reported by our hospitals, is 12 today. Wyoming's positive case rate, that is the percentage of tests that come back positive from COVID-19, has continued trending downward and is currently at 3.5%. Our statewide COVID-19 dashboard remains unchanged, with the category of new cases continuing to be rated as concerned. I am happy to report that testing of nearly 300 individuals at child care facility and a nursing home in Casper resulted in no additional positive cases from these locations. Testing will continue at the nursing home and in accordance with new testing protocols for these types of facilities. Today, we are announcing one significant change to our public health orders. The change is to order number 2, which is currently limiting gatherings to 25 or fewer people. Under the modified order, outdoor gatherings of up to 250 people will now be permitted. That is up to 250 people. Social distancing and sanitation measures will be required, and those are outlined in the revised order. This change takes effect Monday, June 1st. This will allow outdoor events including weddings, graduations, sporting events, concerts, farmers markets, and smaller rodeos to take place during the summer season. This is good for our communities and for our economy. Once again, we are relying on Wyoming citizens to exercise good judgment and personal responsibility in what they do as we expand these orders. And now I'd like to introduce Dr. Harris to provide a brief update.
Thank you, Governor Gordon. We do have more choices now, and that's a good thing. As we make our choices, all of us must look at our own situations to see if we should take extra precautions, and we must remember those who are more vulnerable. I want to remind anyone who lives or works with persons who are at more risk for becoming seriously ill to seriously consider the potential consequences when they participate in activities or events. Most people are aware that we have an ongoing outbreak in a Washakie County nursing home. So far, 12 resident cases have been identified. Sadly, 3 of those people have died. There are also 10 cases among the staff. An outbreak within a long-term care facility can start very simply, but once it takes hold, the effects can be devastating. We will continue to test residents and staff within this facility weekly, as well as at the facility in Casper the governor mentioned. Regarding testing, we encourage anyone with symptoms that could be COVID-19 to call their healthcare provider about testing. We offer guidance, but decisions about which patients should be tested are usually made by local medical professionals. Identifying who has COVID-19 helps us track this disease and use our tools to help limit its spread. No one should avoid testing out of fear. Knowing what's going on in Wyoming is good for all of us. We continue to get questions about the different types of testing currently available for COVID-19. In short, a viral test can show you if you have a current infection, while an antibody test might show if you've had a past infection. Viral tests typically use samples gathered with swabs from inside the nose. This type of testing is most accurate and most important for us when you are sick. In Wyoming, some of these are sent to private labs, and others are sent to the Wyoming Public Health Laboratory. I know there's a lot of confusion and national media coverage about lab testing, accuracy, and what some people describe as false negative results. We have a very high level of confidence in the testing done at our lab. The test that the Wyoming Public Health Laboratory uses likely has a very low rate of actual false negative results. There are other factors that affect the impression of false results. One difficulty in the detection of clusters are asymptomatic cases. People can transmit the disease before they have symptoms and know they are potentially ill and before they are tested. It's also possible for samples to be collected early after their exposure and for people to test positive later, because it can take up to 14 days after exposure to COVID-19 for someone to become ill. In addition, for many people in general who test negative, they probably were not infected at the time the sample was collected, and there is likely another cause of their symptoms. There are, of course, other viruses still circulating. Antibody tests involve blood samples and should definitely not be used to find out whether somebody is currently sick with COVID-19. We are seeing across the country that not all antibody tests are reliable. There may be future broad applications of these tests, but we're clearly not there yet. Most importantly, no one knows yet if having antibodies to the COVID-19 virus can protect someone from getting infected again, or how long any possible protection may last. A positive antibody test result should not be viewed by anyone as a free pass or guarantee against new illness. I'm concerned that people are looking for a golden ticket, and unfortunately, it's not yet available. I also want to quickly mention that we know doctors in some places have seen an increase of previously healthy children presenting with a severe inflammatory syndrome. The cases occurred in children who had tested positive for current or recent COVID-19 infection and include symptoms such as persistent fever and low blood pressure, and effects on organs such as the heart, gastrointestinal system, kidneys, blood, skin, and brain. This appears to be a rare but serious syndrome. We have asked Wyoming providers to keep an eye out for this, and thankfully have had no cases yet reported. Finally, I would agree with the governor's description of how we are truly relying on the judgment of our state's people as they make choices this summer. Just 2 weeks ago, people could only gather in groups of less than 10. Beginning June 1st, gatherings up to 250 people can occur in certain circumstances. Our next steps will be dependent on how well each and every one of us continues to social distance as we support businesses and activities in our communities. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Dr. Harris. Today is a tough day, and is one that I'm sure none of us wanted to take on. But here in Wyoming, we have never shirked responsibility. When there is a fire or a flood, we run to help. When a neighbor is in trouble, we lend a hand. That is the way we've always done it here in Wyoming, and that's what makes today so hard. Thousands of Wyoming residents volunteer their time and expertise to make sure our biggest summer events go smoothly and come off without a hitch, especially our big rodeos. It's no different in 2020. Over the past several weeks, the folks you see here today, the Wyoming Department of Health, my office, and others have been trying to find a way, any way possible, that we could hold our signature rodeos like Frontier Days, Cody Stampede, Central Wyoming Fair and Rodeo, the Sheridan Wyo Rodeo, Laramie Jubilee Days, and the Thermopolis Cowboy Rendezvous. In true Wyoming fashion, we sat down and looked at all angles possible, trying to find a way to hold these iconic events. Still, 2020 has presented challenges that are not easy to overcome safely, responsibly, or in ways that make business sense. Unfortunately, today's circumstances and the enormous number of unknowns have forced some decisions. I don't think anyone up here wants to be saying the things that we need to say today. We all realize that no matter what we might do this year, it is highly likely large events are going to be different going forward, and therefore it is important to think about the future while also thinking about the health of our volunteers, rodeo fans, contestants, and even the communities in which these events are held. To proceed in these uncertain times would be touch and go at best, and could possibly compromise these events' capacity to put on a rodeo next year. A bad experience could do enormous harm to Wyoming and the event's reputations. Because so much rides on these decisions, we held off as long as we could, still trying to find a way forward. Still, each of these events has to be able to plan well ahead and be assured of a reasonable chance of success. In the end, going off half-cocked in the collective minds of everyone up here just wouldn't be worth it. This coronavirus thing sucks. There are just no two ways about it. It runs on contact transmission and thrives in places where the likelihood of close contact is greater. Some think it's no big deal. Others are worried sick. The fact is, we need both groups to attend our rodeos and feel safe if these rodeos are going to be successful. We in Wyoming are always ready to cowboy up, and none of us up here is an exception. But there are other considerations that need to be taken into account. Holding these events without their night shows, their parades, and the carnivals just wouldn't be the same. Simply having these events does not guarantee folks will come, or if they do, that they won't get sick afterwards. That's why big-name stars have canceled so many of their shows. No matter how we tried to find solutions collectively, we recognized the challenges were exceptional, and the risk of failure could set these rodeos back for years to come. With all of this and more in mind, I want to thank this group of dedicated rodeo folks, Heather Hayes, T.J. Owsley, Mike Darby, Tom Jones, Billy Kraft, Guy Warpness, and Tom Hersick, for being here with me today. Each of them has been working nonstop for months, and I respect their clear-eyed wisdom. They are here to let folks know about the Thermopolis Cowboy Rendezvous, PRCA Rodeo, Cody Stampede, the Central Wyoming Fair and PRCA Rodeo, the Sheridan Wyo Rodeo and Breakaway Roping, Laramie Jubilee Days, and Cheyenne Frontier Days. No one hates this more than me. This reality is not an easy one. I grew up around rodeo and rodeoed myself. My dad was in the Turtles, which goes back before the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association, back before the RCA, in fact. Each of these rodeos has a long and storied history. In my soul, I know how important those events are to our communities and our citizens. This fine group of individuals, their rodeo committees, and our team came together to make very difficult decisions and to stand together in our commitment to Wyoming and to the events that they represent. I appreciate their willingness to be here. I suspect each of us would rather be somewhere else with something else to say. To be clear, the state has not forced these cancellations. This was a difficult conversation among all of us up here, taking into account the health of all concerned, business viability, and just the ability to put a rodeo on in these challenging times. These are unbelievably tough decisions, but I do want to end on a bit of a bright note. Together, we are committed to trying to make our state fair the premier event it needs to be this August. And I am glad events like the upcoming PBR in Sheridan and the Hewlett Rodeo are cleared to go ahead. All of us up here are committed to doing our best to make sure our local rodeos, jackpots, team ropings, and state fair and county fairs can proceed. Wyoming's Office of Tourism has put together a video featuring all six of these rodeos represented here today, and I'd like to show it at this time. Afterwards, Tom Hersick, President and CEO of Cheyenne Frontier Days, has a few words to say.
The summer of 2020 promises many road trips across wonder-filled Wyoming. It's easy to find wide open spaces and be alone with nature. Our largest events can absorb a hard rain, even hail. A worldwide pandemic that prohibits a large mass of people to be assembled in relatively small spaces is another matter altogether. From Thermopolis to Cody and Casper, Sheridan to Laramie, and on to our largest celebration of Western culture in Cheyenne, it would be completely irresponsible to endanger the safety of residents and guests by staging parades, crowding grandstands, filling entertainment venues, or showcasing hundreds of years of history while at the same time potentially spreading the coronavirus. Health experts say such gatherings won't be advisable for some time.
9 States of America.
Our state is Americana personified. People from every east towards support.
I'd like to see the Cowboys be able to compete, but I know there's a lot that goes into that and a lot of finances, and if you don't have people in the stands, you can't afford it.
Keeping people socially distant at what are traditionally crowd-pleasing events would be next to impossible.
And you just can't really social distance, and you've got 10,000 people in an area. You're just not going to. And so I see that as being dangerous.
Wyoming isn't known for crowds. Just the opposite.
We're fairly isolated. We're fairly, sheltered from it. And then you bring in all those people, they could raise hell with us.
The difficult and gut-wrenching collective decision to cancel larger Western gatherings scheduled in late June and throughout July was made by event committees and health leaders in regular consultation over a period of several weeks with the governor's office. There will be smaller rodeos and Western celebrations for residents and visitors alike. Wyoming families will be there with safety in mind.
My kids are my everything. One of them has a passion for rodeo. And although bull riding is scary, so is a global pandemic. I'd love to see him ride this summer, but we understand that large crowds and traveling is dangerous right now. So we'll be social distancing as much as we can.
If there was an outbreak, I don't think we could handle it. I don't think we have the capacity. It's still kind of the fear of the dark, kind of the unknown.
About all we can be sure of is our will to power through anything. Focused on the fight. Strong. Fearless. Spurring it forward. Together. In Wyoming.
And this year, like no other, it was vital for our Wyoming rodeo family to unify to make a collective decision. Our summer events bring thousands of people together in ways that do not allow social distancing.
Health and safety of our visitors, volunteers, rodeo contestants, and our community is of primary importance.
Along with our governor and his health advisors, we had to make the decision. We had no choice but to cancel our celebration of our Western lifestyle.
Hosting a large crowd in close proximity at this time would be irresponsible and potentially harmful, possibly even deadly to our friends and neighbors.
We promise to remain loyal and strong and to return with an even greater show for you and your family in 2021.
We promise.
Thank you, Governor. Tom Hersig with Cheyenne Frontier Days, CEO of Cheyenne Frontier Days. I was asked by this group of prestigious Wyoming rodeos to act as a spokesman, to talk about the process we went through to get to this point. I consider this to be a great honor, as I have gotten to know this group of people very well over the last 6 weeks, and their passion for this event is beyond compare. We first would like to thank the governor for his passion for rodeo and all the events that go along with it, and the time he committed to trying to work a resolve to have these events this summer. There is no doubt the governor loves the sport of rodeo and considers it our state sport. This whole situation reminds me of being a child in my room, seeing the closet door cracked open, knowing there's no such thing as monsters, but not walking over and just throwing the door wide open, maybe slightly, opening the door gradually just to make sure. My family has been a part of CFD since the day it started. I have been here every year since I was born. My sister was lady-in-waiting and was tragically killed in a car wreck soon after that. My story is not unlike many of the people that work or volunteer to put these amazing events on. They put their hearts and souls into every one of these celebrations. Most of the leaders in this events are volunteers and spend many hours planning their events. This was not the season they were hoping for, but true to form, they stepped up. When the goings get tough, they get going. All their planning will go unrecognized this year. but hopefully in each community they will be thanked for their hard work and effort. They deserve at least that. The process we took as a group started six weeks ago, and was talking about all the components of our events with the governor to understand the parameters under which our event components could operate. We worked hard as a group, brainstorming and trying to come up with solutions. It became very clear to all of us that some of the components of each of our events logistically cannot take place with respect to social distancing. For example, parades, carnivals, Indian villages, street dances, beer gardens, concerts, all are very successful because of the lack of social distancing. It creates excitement and leaves the fans wanting to come back for more. It is entertainment for all ages, 1 to 100. Sheridan with no parade, Laramie with no street dance, Casper with no carnival. Each celebration has its own components that make them special. These events have worked for years to build these incredible brands that are iconic, not only in our state, but nationwide, and some worldwide. There is only one way to build your events, and that's to make them bigger and better every year, so that people leave saying, I can't wait for next year. When you consider social distancing eliminating many of your core pieces of your event becomes very common, and having those splintered events can set you back from where it took many of us over 100 years to get to where we are. There were many factors outside the health parameters that also played into this decision, from sponsorship to availability of volunteers. We not only have concerns for volunteers, spectators, and contestants' health, but also recognize the possible lack of participation from our great volunteer workforce in 2020. They are the keys to producing all of these events. Many of our volunteers are part of that at-risk population or have family members that are part of that population. Many have said, we are behind you whatever you do, but I may not be able to help you this year. More importantly, they are part of our family, and risking their health is not something we are willing to do. Besides providing community entertainment, the mission of all these great events is to provide an economic impact to their communities. This has always been the case. This will be sorely missed impact to not only the communities, but the entire state of Wyoming. One of the worst things we could do would be to cause our state to go backwards in the recovery process, to shut down businesses that had just reopened because we caused another outbreak. This would go entirely against our mission. Sponsorship of these events is maybe the most important financial impact to having successful events. Many of our sponsors are hurting already because how this has affected aspects of our economy. It would truly be a struggle for some to support these events in the same fashion they have in prior years. All of these events are going to suffer a financial loss just by canceling. Some have spent large amounts of dollars trying to get to this point. But delaying a decision would result in more money being spent to promote your event without a guarantee that it could take place. The closer you get, the more you spend. Cowboys, cowgirls, stock contractors, announcers, etc., all parts of our rodeo family are struggling, and we need to pray for them in these tough times. Know that we will return. We also have vendors, concessionaires, carnival operators, and many more that depend on these events. We are entertainment planners, not health specialists, unlike most everyone on Facebook today. We rely on our state officials to give us guidance to our events. We appreciate their time and the job that they must take on. We do not envy any of their decisions they have to make, as they all are met with controversy one way or another. We all sat in a room, be it a Zoom room, listened and respected what they had to say, and came to a decision. We may not like the way that it all turned out, but we left the meeting shaking hands, virtually, with no animosity, because that is the way we do business in the state of Wyoming. Thank you, Governor, and your staff. And personally, I want to thank this great group of individuals that put on these events. Not only the ones that are in this room, but the thousands of volunteers across the state that give so much. Please take time in your community to thank these people. Offer them encouragement for next year, because we're all going to need that. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom, and thank each of you for being here today. That's not an easy day. I did, on another note, want to introduce Doug Miyamoto, Director of Wyoming Department of Agriculture, to talk briefly about coronavirus food assistance program, which provides relief funds to Wyoming farmers and ranchers. Doug.
Thank you, Governor Gordon, Dr. Harris, for your leadership, your tough decisions, and for allowing me the opportunity to talk today a little bit about agriculture. Just like every other aspect of life, coronavirus has had a significant impact on the ag industry. It's disrupted specifically international markets, but also our domestic markets. I think we have all watched what's happened with meat plant closures and what that's done to our supply chains and more than that. That said, however, this pandemic has also shined a bright light on the importance of the ag industry and the value that it provides to Wyoming citizens, citizens of the United States, and citizens of the world. One of the aspects that we have tried to undertake at the Department of Ag throughout this emergency has been to be a portal for our producers, our farmers and ranchers, our customers, to get out as much information about the ag industry and what's going on as soon as we could do it. And that's what I'm doing here today. I want to talk a little bit about the coronavirus food assistance program. This was stood up by the USDA to help address some of the challenges faced by the ag industry. Unlike some of the other programs that you may have seen come from the CARES Act so far, the coronavirus food assistance program was designed specifically for the ag industry, and it provides an avenue for direct payments for our producers who've already faced price declines and additional marketing expenses due to this pandemic. Farm Service Agency is the entity that will be standing this program up here in Wyoming. They started taking applications yesterday from producers across the state, and they'll do so through the end of August. It's important to understand this is a $16 billion program across the country. Approved applicants are eligible to receive payments of up to $250,000 for eligible commodities. So it's the big one. This is the big program for agriculture so far. Eligible products include livestock, wool, and some non-specialty crops like beans. But there's more than that. And for a full list of eligible commodities, you can visit farmers.gov/CFAP. That's an important website to remember, and I'll reference it again later in my comments today. For crops that are not currently eligible, however, there is a process that USDA has designed to evaluate those on a case-by-case basis as well. And so you have to contact the Farm Services Agency to start working through that process and eligibility determination to see if you can qualify for these payments. USDA is confident that there will be enough funds for all applicants to the program, but we at the Department of Ag wouldn't be doing our job if we didn't encourage our producers in this state to get out and start that application process. Approved applicants will receive up to 80% of their maximum payment amount immediately, and USDA will reserve the other 20% to make sure that there's equitable distribution of those funds, and hopefully you will get the remaining 20% at a later date. I think all of you have also been participants or at least know about the Wyoming Business Council's efforts to host webinars about topics of interest to help work us through this pandemic. There's another one that they will be hosting on Thursday evening at 6 p.m. That webinar will feature Wyoming Executive Director of the Farm Service Agency, my partner Lois Van Mark. She'll be able to give much more specific information about this program and answer questions that are out there by our producers. And so I want to highlight the availability of that webinar as well. I'm very happy that USDA has made these funds available to our producers here in Wyoming. We know that these losses are just starting. They're going to continue on through the rest of the year, and a lot of pain in terms of payments yet to be felt later on in the fall. But this is very good news. This program is one that we have been asking for, and so we're glad that it's here now. We would encourage all of our producers across the state to apply for this funding and work through that process with your Farm Service Agency staff. And again, that website, farmers.gov/CFAP. There's a service center locator tool on that website. All you have to do is, from that drawdown menu, select Wyoming and the county that you reside in. It will give you the contact information to call to start that application process. So that's a very important component. Finally, the last thing that I would like to mention is my appreciation for First Lady Gordon's Hunger Initiative. This has been another aspect of agriculture that we have felt really good about through this pandemic. The First Lady's Hunger Initiative started over a year ago, but the vision that it took to create that has only been highlighted by this pandemic. To have it available now really seems clairvoyant almost. The popularity of that program, its necessity to feed our most vulnerable citizens, has really been highlighted by this pandemic, and it's something that we have been very fortunate to be able to partner with our ag industry partners and with Wyoming Food Bank of the Rockies, with the First Lady's leadership, to take part in. We were able to deliver 1,500 pounds of ground beef last week. That was the first of that type of shipment, but we were very proud to be able to do that, and this is an exceptional program. There's a website that you can go to see what you might be able to do if it's something that you're interested in. It's called nohungerwyo.org. And there's information about the First Lady's Initiative. And there's really two components of that. One is food from the farm and ranch, which is the domestic side of food products available to the food banks and pantries around the state. And the second one that we're working on now is called Food from the Field. And that will give an opportunity for sportsmen and women throughout Wyoming to donate harvested game to the needy as well. And so that's a program that we've really been proud to take part of. Thank you, Governor, for your leadership again. Please express my gratitude to the First Lady for having such an important vision and one that couldn't have been more timely. Thank you again.
Thanks, Doug, and I will make sure that I tell Jenny that she really has enjoyed the partnership with you and others to bring this forward, and it's just amazing how important it is at these times. So before I close, I want to acknowledge that there was a sobering report from the Consensus Revenue Estimating Group, Craig, yesterday, and it clearly illustrates the financial challenges that the state is facing. I want to say that it is true that these existed before COVID-19, but COVID-19 has exacerbated these problems and brought them into sharp focus. You have heard in other press conferences my recommendations about targets for budget cuts that I'm directing to my agencies. But it is also clear that we cannot cut our way completely to solving this problem. So we've been and will continue to be examining a variety of ways to address this budget shortfall. I do look forward to working with the legislature on solutions to the many issues that we face today. These are not easy times. But I was heartened to learn that the volume of traffic that went through Yellowstone this Memorial Day weekend, remember, Wyoming had the only two entrances open to Yellowstone. And the volume of traffic that went through Yellowstone was only 200 cars short of last season. That's good. It's good because it means our tourism is picking up, Those are important dollars, and it's good because it means the demand for oil is also picking up. And that's a good thing for Wyoming. So thank you again. And even though this day seems like it has gone a bit awry, I am still optimistic about Wyoming's future, and I look forward to working with our people. God bless you. Thank you very much. And I guess we have some questions. I have one. Okay. Thank you. No questions?
Hi, Commander.
Okay, there we are. Thanks. Go ahead.
Hi, Lorraine Gordon. This is Billy Arnold from the Jackson Hole News and Guide.
Yes.
I have a question about the outdoor gathering order. That order permits rodeos and other large events so long as they follow certain guidelines and allow less than 250 or invite in less than 250 people. And I guess from a health perspective, what's the difference between rodeos and other gatherings of that size and rodeos like Cheyenne Frontier Days, which is obviously much larger? And I guess the question there is why one but not the other?
Thanks for that question. Should I repeat it? Okay, thanks. So the 250 outdoor gatherings, you know, is really meant, you know, for a couple reasons. The first is that there's clearly a lot of demand for people to be able to go outside and enjoy these types of events, which are really important for Wyoming. And in venues where there's enough room for 250 people to space out outdoors and enjoy that gathering, that seems very reasonable to protect public health. And so just, again, in terms of Cheyenne Frontier Days and these other larger rodeos, you know, from what was discussed here, there was more going into that decision than just the ability to hold the rodeo itself with potentially a limited number of spectators, but other types of events that potentially couldn't occur in conjunction with the rodeo. So, again, there was no specific health order or health directive that Cheyenne Frontier Days and these other large rodeos had to be or couldn't occur, but decisions were made, you know, outside of just the health realm for those types of rodeos.
Next question. Do we have anyone? Okay. Well, thank you. This is a long press conference. I really do want to thank the rodeo events from around the state. Thank you all for being here. We are moving forward. We are going to see rodeos like the Hewlett Rodeo and the PBR up in Sheridan and other events. We're already seeing more people out on the roads. You know, we're on our way back. So thank you very much. And with that, we will close. Thanks.